WORT would like to extend our gratitude to these restaurants for helping put the community in WORT Community Radio through their donations of food. Gratefully yours for nearly five decades, this is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
YWCA Madison invites you to join them to celebrate the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. YWCA Madison is eager to gather with their community of supporters to share stories that speak to who they are and demonstrate their values of humanity, community, growth, and restoration, which are at the heart of how they move as an organization. Attending the Circle Fundraiser impacts the lives of thousands of women, children, and families who are served each year through YWCA's transformational programs in housing and shelter, employment and transportation, restorative justice, and learning and movement building. More information about the Circle Fundraiser and other YWCA programs and resources can be found at ywcamadison.org. That's the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center. Keeping you informed of community events and resources, this is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
Hi friends, Vicki Kenyon here, occasional host of Query on WORT Madison 89.9 FM. Hey, I wanted to take a minute to say thank you so much, listeners, for your amazing support of our Winter Pledge Drive the last 2 weeks. The on-air drive officially ended Sunday night. If you didn't have a chance to donate or you'd like to just throw some more money in the pot, you can still do that online at WORTFM.org. Click the orange button with the heart on it, or on the app, you can find the donate button there as well. There are some generous donors who had agreed to match all new or lapsed donations during this last pledge drive, and we still have some funds left on those challenge grants. So, for the next 4 or 5 days, all the donations that we receive from all the donors will be matched, including yours. What a great time to double your impact. We have a few thousand dollars to go before we can receive all of those matching funds. Any support you can give, no matter how large or small, makes a difference here. Thank you so much for supporting us here at Query and at WORT at large. One more time, hit that orange button on the app or the website to donate. It's WORTFM.org. And now it's time for Query with this week's host, Matve.
Good evening and welcome to Query, Madison's longest-running show dedicated to LGBTQ plus issues. I'm your host, Matve Mujaev. And before we get started, I want to let you know that this episode discusses adult topics. In case this is not something you can engage in now, please tune in to the radio after this show wraps up. With that, let's get started.
We're not going to get that out of the schools in this decade. It's going to be 4 more years until we have another presidential administration, at least.
This is David, an award-winning sci-fi writer. He is talking about the lack of sex education in the United States.
It's just terrible that we have to go to some, you know, some independent webcomic for this information when it should be in the schools. But I'm glad that it's there. And actually, as an independent webcomic, she can do things that even in the best administration, a lot of this information would not be available in the schools ever.
The independent webcomic he is talking about is Ojoy Sex Toy, or OJST. A webcomic platform that focuses on all things sex education and sex positive.
They can say things that might be too scary or might be too off-putting to the mainstream audience. They can say it in ways that really work for everybody, especially for kids. You know that they have done a couple of books of sex education cartoons aimed at young adults. And I think that is a population that is really badly served by this, you know, by this messed up society of ours. And so it's great that it's available. It's available free online, and it's available in book form for people that like to get it that way.
So we're a webcomic platform. We post once a week. We post sex positive comics in all of their shapes and forms. We try to explore a lot of different things from education to reviews to little occasional fictional stories, lots of journalism. I'm really big on autobio. I love hearing people's stories.
This is Matthew and Erica, founders of Oh Joy Sex Toy.
One moment that happened recently, I might have to get my ovary removed, maybe. I don't know. It's fine.
We're thinking about it.
But anyway, might or might not get an ovary removed. But we're in there talking to the doctor about it. And Matt is asking this guy super specific questions about ovary this and fibroid that and blah, 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 blah. And the doctor stops. He's like, oh, are you in medical? And it's like, no, just sex educators who make a comic.
I'm just a nerd.
Just a nerd.
Erica and Matthew have always been passionate about sex, but struggled to find education about it when they were younger.
And so we didn't have like super direct sex education resources. And we both had so many questions and we didn't even know what our questions were. We just knew sex exists and we didn't even know where do you even start? How does this happen?
Fueled by their curiosity, Erica and Matthew started OJST.
So then when we got into making sex education comics as adults, we were trying to make comics that would be the icebreaker, that would be really friendly, really open.
Nowadays, digital sex-positive comics are in abundance. But when Matt and Erica were designing OJST, the internet didn't have much to offer.
When Matt and I were teenagers and learning about sex, this was early days of internet. Getting internet porn, it would take an hour to download. Like, this was not the sex on the internet that we have now.
Erica and Matt wanted to see more sex positivity on the internet and launched the platform.
Back in the early days, it used to be, you know, the Matthew and Erica show, or the Erica and Matthew show. So Erica is a comic artist by trade, and I'm, I guess, a writer now by trade. I used to work in the video game industry, but I used to do a little bit of coloring and work on Erica's comics, and slowly but surely this became our sort of full-time gig that we both do.
As you may guess from the platform's title, OJST started out with a particular focus.
Doing sex toy review comics, I'm pretty sure we invented that.
The niche subject immediately garnered an audience.
The sex toy reviews were what really drew me to it at first, because this was giving me good, solid information. I mean, finding good, trustworthy reviews of products like that can be really difficult. So the quality of the reviews, the quality of the education, and the products that they were reaching out to and finding were things that I didn't necessarily know about. So I learned an awful lot about sex toys and about the variety and availability of toys, and also which ones weren't very much good, which is a really important thing to learn.
I really appreciated their reviews of toys because I don't have the money to find out for myself. it was nice to just know exactly what I was going to get.
I started off with reading the reviews for different sex toys because these things are expensive, so it's good to know if you might be into it before you really invest.
This is Jay and Corey, longtime supporters of OJST.
It's not like you can borrow them and return turn them back in if you don't like them.
As OJST's audience grew, so did the dedication of its creators.
We were co-writers on all the comics growing
right,
up.
So right.
Matt was like, either Matt would write a whole comic and then I would edit it, or I would write a whole comic and then Matt would edit it, and then I would draw it, and then Matt would color it, and then Matt would make the website work.
And as Matthew and Erica persisted in their work, OJST became more than a personal project.
There are so many of their comics that are original only. Some that have a completely different tone, and they're punny and sexy and funny, and there's, you know, the toy reviews, which are kind of a mix of both. But the educational ones, I can't think of another example of where to find that type of information. So whether it's about published about lube, it's just like even the companies that sell lube don't have the types of questions and answers that OJ Sex Toy does.
Today, we will explore how OJST has become a global platform for reshaping sex culture.
You're going to explain how to take difficult to explain subjects like education, or let's say, you know, STDs or whatever, and how to break that apart into something like a comic, because it's very, like, when you've got really dense material like that, it becomes really hard to read past more than a sentence or two and continue to keep learning. Like doctors and lawyers, they train their brain to absorb mm-hmm. that.
But they go to school for that.
Yeah, but if you're just like a regular person, you haven't practiced that muscle, and then you're trying to learn something, it becomes quite hard and draining.
Some books are just strictly text and just walls and walls of essays for people to go through, and it can make sex education seem more boring than it actually is.
This is Zombie, another supporter of OJST.
They use direct and simplified language because certain things involving sex education can come across as more complicated.
Erica and Matthew wanted to do more than talk about sex. They wanted the readers to understand and share their passion.
Comics is like the coolest platform for that because mm-hmm. you get to slow those words down. Mm-hmm. You get to add pictures that are engaging. You get to create conversational language, and it mm-hmm. all translates. And the reader is encouraged to take their as much time as they like with it, right? It's different mm-hmm. than, say, like a video where there's a pace. This is like, you can put it down, you can pick it back up, you can reread something, and you're not punished for any of that. I think we were at the forefront of taking a lot of like hard, dense sex ed material mm-hmm. and then trying to crack it and turning it into a comic.
And make it accessible.
By default, comics are a medium well-suited for communicating complex narratives. But Matthew and Erica wanted to take it a step further.
The way that their comics are laid out, it's very straightforward. It's not complex. It's not all over the place. It's A to B. At the same time, it validates different experiences.
OJST uses numerous tools, from metaphors to visual breakdowns, to turn dense articles into short comics. And it works.
It worked so well for me because of the subject matter, because of the quality of the art, and because of the information that she was conveying and how she was conveying it.
And so the kind of community that we fostered are people who kind of tend to be a bit tender-hearted, and people who want a friendly introduction, who want something that's going to be really patient and kind and inviting to them to read.
By centering accessibility, Erica and Matthew were able to transfer their passion for sex to their readers.
And I definitely get people who are like, I'm not interested, like asexual people read our comic and they say, you know, I personally don't want to have sex, but I am interested to understand what this means for other people, how they do these things, why it feels good.
I like to learn.
I am curious. And then other people are like, I'm not into this kind of kink that you showcased, but having read this comic, I can understand why somebody else would be. It makes more sense intellectually now, even though I personally am not going to partake in that.
We ourselves are fascinated by sex.
Oh, yeah.
And I've learned so much. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of times I've had to sit down and do some research and mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, wow, I didn't know that's how that worked. Or I need to find a way to squeeze this in somehow because that's a really cool mm-hmm. way of communicating. Or like it's made, I think, us a lot better people for learning more and getting to touch base on this stuff. It's really, really good.
By cultivating curiosity among their audience, OJST created a committed supporter community.
I know I've sent in some questions before. I've subscribed to Oh My God Yes because of their recommendation. I've
been following Matt and Erica for many years, and over the years, I've been very fortunate to have the ability to contribute financially. And so I've been helping them out quite a bit in recent years. And so we've gotten to be friends. I've asked Erica to do a couple of projects for me. And she's been a great partner on those projects.
Written in and being on Patreon and being able to comment on the posts has been a whole new experience. That's something that I haven't done the entire time that I've been a reader. So it's probably only been the past like 4 years or something. And joining that community has been level of investment.
OJST's community is committed to the cause and that creates room for compassion between the audience and the creator.
I'm not one of those people who, I need you to produce something exactly on this day every week. I need my fix every so many days or else I ditch. I'll take good content, however long it takes them to put it out, whenever they can. And I want them to be able to live comfortably while they do their art. So I'm with them 100% still.
As audience of OGST grew further, the platform expanded its diversity of topics.
Honestly, they just never stopped. So, I mean, they just published one that was about lube, and it's always educational. It's always something new. They've never let anything get stagnant.
OGST made complex conversations about sex accessible and became a widely shared resource.
On top of that, it was like a great explainer for a lot of those topics for other people that was digestible and quick and fun to watch and look at. So I could send some, maybe not all of these comics, but I could send these to family members or friends who were like, well, what does being non-binary mean? Like, what does it mean to be polyamorous? What does it mean to be whatever these other things are that aren't, you know, the most common way to do it? So I was really grateful for that.
As OGST continued to expand its content while maintaining accessibility, it became a public platform.
Our audience has kind of grown up with us. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have people talk back to us saying, hey, listen, I was 18 mm-hmm. and your comic was updating and now I'm 20 something. You know, you've been there with me at so many different stages of my life. Mm-hmm. And that is really powerful to me.
With them aging with us, like them being in their 30s now and early 40s, like they are using OJOY as a resource to give to the younger people they know. And they're like, hey, here's where I learned about this thing. You can learn about it there. And it's nice to see it being kind of like passed on like a baton to newer generations who maybe didn't find it on their own at first. They just had somebody say, hey, read this.
Matthew and Erica do outreach, but a lot of it comes from their community.
Sex education, that was largely stuff that I already knew and continues to be so, but I really enjoy reading about it because I'm a firm believer in, you know, taking a class in something that you already think you know about because there's always more to be learned. And one thing that I really get out of OJST is I get good introductory information to stuff that I may already know about, but I know that this resource exists. So when I'm talking with somebody who doesn't know about a thing or is interested in a thing, I can just use the search feature on the site and find, oh yeah, they did a comic about this thing.
The synergy of accessible and abundant content with a committed audience creates a perpetual cycle of growth.
It's an easy, informative, humorous, unthreatening introduction to a lot of topics, which it's a library of great information that I can share with people who need it.
I got in touch with OJSE through a queer support group. Erica did a comic on gender. It was a really well done physical art form talking about how gender is more of a construct and some can have genders that differ from their sex assigned at birth. But also, I went sort of down that rabbit hole and found OJST, I want to say about 10-ish years ago.
That rabbit hole experience that Zombie is describing is made possible by the accessibility of the website, and it allows for new readers to become invested in the mission of OGST.
A fair amount of time just reading them on a daily basis, going through their guest comics. I use some of the resources in daily life. I've got access to sex education manuals that I still use to educate people to this day.
Been recommending the site for a long time on, you know, Discord and Meetup and things like that.
With an ever-growing base of committed supporters, Matthew and Erica were able to expand their work beyond the realm of the internet.
I've been following for a very long time, and I've also bought their books. So not just the compilation of the blog, but also the Drawn to Sex series. So there's the basics and bodies and health.
I really like the fact that their books are also held in stock at some indie sex shop.
While OGST carved out a safe virtual space, the mainstream discourse remains hostile to sex positivity.
Unfortunately, there's a stigma around it, and there are even people that I've come in contact with that when discussing, they'll use language like, oh, well, I got my STI test and I came back clean. And it implies that somebody who has an STI may or may not be dirty. And it's not correct information. I mean, STIs affect such a large amount of the population and can really affect anybody. When we talk about getting tested for STIs or how we navigate things like gender identity, OGST does a really good job of, well, first of all, normalizing different types of bodies that exist using language that is simplified so that people can understand what they're talking about.
The first two words of the title's platform forecast its strategy for countering stigma, being fun and easygoing.
I love Erica's style. She and Matt together, they're fabulous technical communicators. They are so good at conveying information in a graphical form, making it easily digestible, fact-based, and fun and funny. You know, it's a great combination of humor and accurate information about sex, which is a thing that, as you know, people tend to get wrapped around the axle about.
One of the reasons why we lean so hard into puns and humor was because when you can make somebody laugh, even if it's laughing at us, you lower their defenses. You release the tension, like whatever anxiety or fear they might have had about learning about herpes. Like, we come in with some bad puns, they laugh, and then we're like, and now let's talk about herpes. And it just kind of like makes it easier to digest that information.
We make it sound like we do a lot of the legwork, but like, sex is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just genuinely interested.
Yeah.
And like, even if somebody, you know, isn't very sexually active, like they want to know about herpes. Like, mm-hmm. they want to learn. And like, and if you show off a silly thing and you have a joke in there, it's even more appealing. People who are curious,
yeah,
and excited,
yeah,
to learn, and you know, maybe they have their own hang-ups about sex, but they're clicking on a comic and they're engaging, and that's just a wonderful thing.
OGST synergizes accessibility with engagement, and that allows the audience to see beyond the stigma and immerse themselves into the platform's passion.
There was a person I know who got diagnosed, actually this has happened a couple times. Somebody gets diagnosed with herpes, and herpes has a huge stigma around it. It's really...
It's a scary word.
It's a scary word. And they said that they had read our herpes comics before they got diagnosed. Mm. And so they still had a bit of a freak out, but it was a lot more reduced, and that they went back and looked up our old herpes comics to read that and be like, no, I'm okay. This is like, obviously not ideal to get, mm-hmm, herpes, but like, this is not the end of your romantic life. This is not the end of you being a whole, complete human being who deserves love and can treat it. Wait, where was I going with that?
Oh, herpes.
Herpes, man.
Yeah.
Check out our herpes comic.
We're educators.
we're good at talking.
OGST normalizes sexual experiences. And by doing that, Matthew and Erica translate stigma into empowerment.
So it sort of makes me feel better considering that during the AIDS crisis, there was an issue talking about the quote unquote cleanliness of queer people that were existing with AIDS. It's not that people are morally incorrect for existing with an STI. It's that something affected them and they now have to live with it. We have to hold space and respect for people who exist in that kind of a space.
Fetish and kinky, like the way to approach them is very much like a bright-eyed doe in front of a truck, except both parties survive.
This is Hien, another comic artist at OGST.
It's a safe way to talk about these like big intimidating things. And by having these comics existing and being like, oh yeah, it's okay to share these things around, that he's talking about it, he lived through it, and that's fine. That makes it okay for other people to be like, oh yeah, I might be into that kind of stuff as well.
OGST's unique approach normalizes sexual discourse and allows readers to expand and deepen their relationship to sex.
OJST is a great resource, although the people that I find myself recommending it to the most often are parents of adolescents, because it is a superb and very digestible introduction to a lot of scary stuff, which is, you know, is definitely intended for adults, but I find that an awful lot of the content works well for young people. So I have so many parents of adolescent children that I've recommended, especially the books, to.
OJST achieved a platform of radically honest, passionate, accessible, and expanding sex-positive comics. But they are alone in their success.
The thing with queer comics, especially sex-positive queer comics nowadays, is that places we are able to exist in are slowly sinking below us. So we're just kind of trying to prop each other up and finding more people to connect with, finding more ways to put out, you know, are the things that we believe in, the things that we're passionate about.
Unlike other similar platforms, OJST has been able to sustain itself long term.
We thought we would start this, and I kind of thought that once we got the ball rolling, more people would start their own like sex ed comics.
Well, I remember there was like some of the big websites did a couple of things where they aped the plan.
Yeah.
For it. And it was like, that's really cool. That's really clever, but it never really held traction.
Other comic centers for education and justice and everything, like the NIB, came and went within the time period that OJoy Sex Toy has been flourishing this whole time.
Turns out, you know, making a expensive comic each and every single week is kind of difficult in the long run, unless you're very tenacious. It's kind of a hard sell, I think, for big companies. But we managed to do it.
OJST achieved this consistency with more than strategy alone.
Yeah, and we've been doing that now for more than a decade.
Yeah, 11 years. This will be our 12th year.
This will be our 12th year, and mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever missed a week. I think maybe we took 1 week off once.
I think we got COVID once.
Yeah,
but like
that.
We still put up a picture on that day. So like technically, there's always been a something goes up every week.
Yeah.
Matthew and Erica were willing to sacrifice time and effort at an ambitious scale.
When we started, we did always have guest artists contributing. It's just like Matt and I would do the majority of the comics. We'd basically fill up a month worth of comics, and then we would have one guest comic come on, and then it would be another month of Matt and me doing the comics, basically, more or less. When we say a comic, for us, that means 4 to 6 like full-size comic pages that you would read in a book.
Written, so, drawn, colored.
In 1 week.
posted onto a site. Like, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Jesus Christ, like, in our heyday, Matt and I were pumping this out once a week.
Erica and Matthew's passion and youth gave them the strength to maintain a consistent and independent platform for many years.
I'm a Patreon supporter. I really like that they're driven mostly by that rather than through ad networks or doing big sponsorships all the time by unrelated companies. Like, they're not doing Raid Shadow Legends ads and such.
But the world at large is still hostile to OJST's mission. Let's pause here for today. We've explored how OJST came to be and how it turned into a public good. In 2 weeks from today, on March 26th at 7 p.m. Central Time, we will explore how OJST sustained itself against the broader oppression of sex positivity. You've been listening to Query, Madison's longest-running show dedicated to LGBTQ+ issues.
Time crunch? No time to read the paper? It's easy to stay informed on the latest breaking news in Madison and beyond. Just subscribe to WORT Local News Podcast. Our volunteer reporters are on standby to investigate the latest news in our community. That includes protests.
Hey, you'll need it. Your cause will be defeated.
Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide.
For the parks, for the birds. For the trees, for the parks, for the birds.
Local politics.
I believe that this subpoena is a mockery.
Well, my initial reaction is always like, what truth are they talking about?
Arts and culture.
There just aren't very many Oak Savannahs left, but they're a very unique, beautiful landscape to walk through.
I guess you can tell quite a bit about a watch by winding it and setting it.
And everything in between. New episodes are available every Monday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. Just search for the WORT Local News. Bringing you local news and information since 1975. This is WORT Madison.
People are reporting physical assaults, death threats, being called anti-gay names, and reporting property damage that is anti-gay related.
The Scottish Executive is committed very strongly to repealing Section 28, and repeal is supported by three of the four main parties in the Scottish Parliament.
A vote on the Civil Unions Bill is expected later this month. If the bill passes both Vermont's House and Senate, the Governor has said he will sign it.